I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, where we will continue our study. I know we're not typically in the book of Galatians, but I wasn't necessarily planning to teach this lesson today, but here we are, and it is fitting. This is actually Kim's favorite verse. All right, and her parents are here today to hear her favorite verse, and unless her favorite verse is now, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church," which I would understand that. All right? It's really crazy. We're still recovering from the men's retreat. All right, the title of our lesson from Galatians 1:10 through 12 is "Being a God Pleaser." Being a God pleaser. And it is obviously in contrast to the opposite, where Paul says in chapter 1, verse 9, "For am I now striving to seek the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel was preached by me is not according to man. For I have neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, you may be wondering why I selected this passage. Well, it's because of our men's retreat this weekend. I found out on Thursday that our speaker may not be able to make it after all. And so that meant I had three lessons to cover. And so I went back into the archives and I found the good old book of Galatians, and this was one of the ones that I had been looking at. But I do want to ask you, as we come to this passage, how is it that we should make decisions? How should we? There are lots of decisions that we make in this life. How do you make your decisions? Now, some of it is obviously personal preference. You know, I ate Fruit Loops today instead of Cocoa Puffs. That one tastes better to me. You've made a decision. All right, you don't have to pray and ask the Lord to strike you with divine wisdom about which cereal you are to eat. But there are lots of other decisions that come up in our life, and we have to ask ourselves, do I do that because that's what God wants? Or because that's what other people want of me? And as a Christian, forgiven of our sins, we must daily commit to do what God wants, not what other people want. But obviously, it's a tough thing for people your age, right? You're still trying to find your way in the world and want to be accepted and loved and popularity and all of those things. And you can be tempted by those that you consider to be your close friends. And they want you to do the wrong thing. They want you to disobey. And if you're the one who says, "Oh no, I'm not doing that," they may blast you. They may ridicule you. They may stop inviting you to stuff. But we have to remember, we don't live to please men. We live to please God. And Paul is an excellent example of that. You think of Pilate, now he made his decision in Mark 15. They just kind of dumped this whole Jesus thing on his lap. And Pilate, what does he decide to do? I don't know here. Let me ask the people. The people, obviously, they love Jesus, right? And I'm just going to please the people. "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priest handed him over because of envy. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. That wasn't what Pilate was hoping. Answering again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him." But Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." Pilate knew Jesus had done nothing wrong. Pilate knew that he was only being handed over because of the jealousy of the chief priests. And he offers up Jesus, and it says this, "Wishing to satisfy the crowd." Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Wow. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to save mankind from his sin. Pilate didn't care about pleasing him. Pilate cared about that crowd that's there. And it's foolishness. It's ridiculous. But we make decisions in our dress, in our materialistic pursuits, in what we watch and what we listen to, based not on God's plan, but on pleasing other people. Number one on our outline would be the question. You find that at the first part of verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? What's going on here in this book? Why does he ask this question? The theme of the book is justification by faith. And if you look in chapter 2, it's very clear because you see justification by faith over and over and over again. There have been people that have come in and said, oh yeah, absolutely, believe in Jesus. But you also have to keep the law. And you mix those two things together, you have your faith and you have your deeds and you are good to go. In verse 6 of chapter 1, Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed, anathema, to be damned. As we have said before, I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. And then he asks that question. Am I seeking the favor of men or of God? Look, I'm not trying to please you. I'm not trying to please other people. All I'm doing is simply taking the communicated message that God has given to me, and I'm giving it to you as well. When Paul speaks of the favor of men or of God, there are two aspects to this. The first aspect of the favor of men or of God would be reliance on. Reliance on. In Luke 11:22, but when someone stronger attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor, which he had what? Relied on, and distributes his plunder. The approval of men is our whoopee. It is our little blanket. It is our nightlight. Any of y'all have your power go out last night? We did. Fortunately, my in-laws were there to help the kids, and they all had their little lanterns that were there. And it brought comfort to them. The favor of men is what makes us feel good, and it makes us feel right. And okay, I'm not weird. When in reality, as Christians, you are weird. And we should want to be weird for the sake of Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 12. This is how bad it can get. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. Who is this Cephas guy and what is he thinking? He must not be a very strong Christian to be caught up in this whole approval of men. It's Peter. Peter. Yeah, that guy. The one who walked on water with Jesus. The one who stood up before thousands of people in the book of Acts and preached the gospel, and thousands of people came to know him. The one who stood up before the Sanhedrin and said, look, do what you want with me, but I will not stop preaching about this Jesus Christ. Even though they imprisoned him, even though they beat him, he rejoiced at that. Now he's in a different setting. He's in a different context. He's here in Galatia. And people have begun to separate from the Gentiles and hold themselves aloof and wanting to please those people and be a part of those people. He did those things. Remember, Peter has come a long way. But he's not perfected until he's in heaven with Jesus Christ. But we need to remember that. Aspect number two of this favor of men would be a persuasion in order to please. All right, part of it is relying on that because it's comfortable, but us being persuaded to do things just to please others. You see it in Matthew 28:14. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. That idea of those soldiers and everything that went on, and they couldn't just tell people angels came and, you know, the stone rolled away on itself, and they said, look, we'll take care of it. We will win over the governor with our thoughts and with our comments. You will be okay. And you've probably already thought of an event, maybe even this past week, where you didn't do so well with this. When it came down to it, do I obey Christ or do I please man? Probably selected to please man. Well, number one is the question. Number two is the question to clarify the question. The question to clarify the question. And that's found at the back end of verse 10. Or am I striving to please men? It's going to clarify what he said before. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Well, what's your point, Paul? Look, am I striving to please men? That word striving means to seek. To seek. And you can compare it to a game as the person, you know, those people that try a little too hard. All right. They are striving after it. They are seeking it. Is that what I'm doing? Am I just running after the favor of men? Why do we struggle with pleasing people? Give me some answers here. What are you thinking? Why do youth in general struggle with pleasing people? JD?
We care too much about
what they think. As if what they're thinking is going to shape us for the rest of our lives. Elizabeth? Yeah, you want those friends. You just want to fit in. You want to look like everyone else. Paul.
You don't want a single person not to like you.
Yeah. It hurts when someone doesn't like you. It hurts when someone is mean to you. So you don't want to set yourself up in a situation where there are people that are openly against you. What else? Why do people struggle with this? Why do we struggle with pleasing men? Josh? Yeah, we want to be more popular. Because you know what? That's just the zenith of life is popularity in high school. Because that's just going to carry over and... Oh, wait. You graduate and no one cares.
Most popular in my class. I don't care. What are you talking about, man?
That letter jacket that was so cool. Just sits in your closet. Even though I ask him, please, can I pull it out? Can I wear it? And she tells me no. Right now, it seems like that popularity is the end-all, be-all. And if you don't do that, if you don't do this, in what ways do we compromise our walk in order to please people? Keith? Okay, trust in God's sovereignty falters. Not saying that, look, God has a plan for my life and He loves me and He's working all these things out. I'm going to do things on my own. Give me some specifics. Like, you don't have to say, like, on this date, you know, but... What is that peer pressure? Or what is that in order to please people? What does it cause you to do? Micah?
Involving yourself in things that would hinder your walk.
Yeah. Things that, you know, specific things that would hinder. Entertainment, choices, music, being just carried and swept away with fun, and not doing the things of the Lord. Yeah. Paul?
We act differently.
We do. We act way differently. You know, sometimes we're hurting and we need help, but come on, you're weird if you show that, right? So you just come on in here and you, everything's great and you don't really get that help that you need. Sometimes you act differently with different people. When I'm hanging out with Mitch, I love him and it's great. And then when Mitch is not around, oh, that guy, I can't believe him. What else? What other ways? Garrett? Yeah, not speaking up for... It's hard to do what's right. It's harder to stand against a crowd and to speak up about what's right. But you're supposed to. You're called to. Andrew. Yeah. You know, in the heart of this, we're talking about some different sub things. The heart of this is the gospel. Because people in Galatians, they're willing to compromise the gospel because they don't want to offend people. They want to please people. And these things are smaller sub-issues of this pleasing, but that's the big thing. And, you know, we want to... I'm just going to live my life out, and I'm never going to open my mouth. Because if I tell people, look, you are a sinner, and you're separated from a holy God, and His wrath will be poured out upon you, that doesn't really win friends over at your Christmas party or whatever you're doing. But what's more important, their approval or their salvation? What else? What are some other ways? Micah?
Down to a big chocolate bunny.
Yeah, if you're a VeggieTales person, I wouldn't bow down to that bunny. I would have started eating that bad boy. Especially if he was hollow. Would have been all after it. To obey your parents or not? Dude, isn't that cool to obey your parents? Really? Why are you going to do that? Oh, because your parents say. To watch a certain movie or not? And I know... You're at someone's house and they love the Lord, your parents love the Lord, someone brings a movie along and there's that... And there's even different levels of some of you, your parents have said it's okay, you can... And it's not something that is going to, you know, steal your heart and your mind away and cause you to go down a road, but another person's like, look, my parents asked me not to watch that. How often do you just sit there and watch it and go, man, I hope mom and dad don't find out. They may, but who cares? God knows. God knows. It's not so much that you watched the movie, it's that you disobeyed your parents in that. And you know what? And sometimes there's that pressure, oh, come on, they won't know you. Instead, it should be, whoa! It said that his parents doesn't want him to watch that. We're not going to watch that. Let's do something different. To dress a certain way, we know we feel that, right? We talk about that a lot. To talk a certain way. Girls in our society feel like you have to be extra beautiful and airbrushed at all moments in order to please people. And if you're not the perfect weight, with the perfect outfit, with the perfect makeup, that things aren't going to work out for you. And you forget that God doesn't care about that. He cares about your heart and your obedience. Guys feel like they have to be extra athletic or extra successful or make extra amount of money or whatever it may be in order to please people, where God really doesn't really care about that. Who you are striving to please is a telltale sign of who you really love. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and man. And the far better choice is God. Well, why does Paul address this now? They have begun to accuse Paul of watering down the gospel for the sake of the Gentiles. Because remember, these people, these Judaizers are saying, yes, trust Jesus, but also keep the law. And Paul's saying, no, it's trust Jesus. Oh, you're just saying that to get the Gentiles on your side because they don't want to follow the law. And, you know, maybe you're lazy, maybe you don't want to do it either. And he's saying, no. I'm just doing what God is saying. But he also has a strong desire for them not to be people pleasers. Their society, they're going to get bombarded. They're going to get ridiculed. They're going to get slammed. They're going to get persecuted on every side and every way. And it's really easy for the Christian to say, oh, I'll give in. I'll compromise. But no, you have to stand up and you have to be different. In what ways are the people of Galatia trying to please men? We mentioned this with the gospel and the compromise that's there. And I want you to look at the effect that this has. I'm just going to give in a little bit, okay? Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Remember verse 11 and 12, we talked about Peter. And how when Peter came, he even got swept up in that. Verse 13, the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy. Sometimes we think that our sin only affects ourselves. Because he did what he did in order to please people, all the other Jews go, well, Peter's doing it. Yeah. I'll do that too. with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Barnabas was a great man of the Lord. But he loved Peter and he followed Peter and he even got caught away in it. Verse 14, awkward. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? To Peter. And you know Peter didn't, but he could have said what to Paul? You can tell me what to do, Paul? You killed people. You killed Christians. You're going to sit up here and you're going to tell me what to do? Peter didn't do that. But was Paul scared that Peter would do that? Absolutely not. Paul already called himself the chief of sinners. Paul already knew that anything that he had done has been forgiven. And anything that he's going to do good in the future is because of the grace of God. Number three on your outline is the question. Oh, sorry. I got a little tied up myself. It's not like asking someone to take the ring back off, though. That just doesn't go over as well. All right, number three. The answer, if you want to know, you can ask Michael later. The answer to the question, to clarify the question. The answer to the question, to clarify the question. We're all going back to the initial question, and now here's the answer to it. First point under this, Paul used to live his life in order to please men. If I were still trying to please men, still trying, he used to, grew up, wealthy house, Roman citizen by birth, running off to little Judaizer school, Pharisee of Pharisee, born of the right tribe. By all accounts, everyone would look at him and say, wow. He did all of those things. Oh, you know what? You want me to kill Christians? I'll go kill Christians. Whatever it is to get the approval of man. You're talking about the Pharisees and trumpeting in the streets anytime that they would give and standing out on the corners and praying in front of everybody so that people will say, wow, look how righteous they are. Fasting and putting on that gloomy, sad face. Don't forget that was Paul. That's what Paul did. Is he still trying to do that? The second point under this if Paul still lived his life in order to please men, it would be contrary to his new life. Or you can say, he doesn't do that anymore. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I used to please, but now I have a new master. It's not man. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. He has bought me with the precious blood of Himself. I do what He wants me to do. How does Paul prove this statement? It's easy to say, it's harder to prove, right? Look at chapter 2. After an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. He talks through his testimony, the events that occurred. Verse 2, it was because of a revelation that I went up and I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but I did so in private to those who were of reputation, for fear that I might be running or had run in vain, but not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. He comes in and he wants a meeting, and he wants this meeting to be private. He doesn't want it to be on the street corner out in front of everybody. And when people come in and start to poke and start to prod and start to challenge, he doesn't cave and just run away with them. He stands firm to the truth of the gospel. Number four, the reason for the answer to the question, to clarify the question. I don't even know what I said. The reason for the answer to the question, to clarify the question. We see in verse 11 that Paul wants them to be convinced that the gospel he preaches is not according to man. Why is he given this answer? Why is he doing all of these things? He wants them to know for sure that this gospel is not according to man. Verse 11, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." How do we know that? Verse 12, For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it." And the implication is from man. It wasn't a man who gave him this. It wasn't a man who taught him this. So how did he get it? "But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Why is that so important? Paul's an apostle. An apostle was someone who had seen the risen Christ and been commissioned by the risen Christ to preach His gospel. And while he wasn't in the upper room with the other disciples, later on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ appeared to him. And Paul got his message not from man, because if you get a message from man and you preach that message, there's that whole, well, are they just trying to please man? He got it from Jesus Himself. And that's the message that he preaches. "I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Well, what is the main implication of the passage? When we look at this, what's the main thing that we can take out as a timeless truth and put it in our life and on our world right now? The answer is, above all, we are to please God first. Above all, we are to please God first. If you are here today and you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you love Jesus Christ, He's your Lord and Savior, your number one thing is pleasing Jesus Christ. Obeying Him, serving Him, pleasing God above all things. For us, it's different things at different times. For Paul, it was a defense of the gospel. "God, you need me to defend the gospel? I'll defend the gospel. I'll do it." What sacrifice did Paul have to make? You talk about confronting your friends and loved ones with God's truth. Was Paul willing to do that? I mean, it's Peter, dude. He willingly did that. And he even says in Galatians chapter 6, flip over there, familiar passage, verse 1, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Wow. I want to do that. Is that fun? Is that easy? My loved one, my friends in sin, I just love going in with a spirit of gentleness and humility. No, that's tough. That's hard to do. When you're in a group on Wednesday night, you're sitting around talking and someone turns the conversation to something that isn't glorifying. Are you there to say, "You know what? Let's just make sure our conversation is glorifying to God"? It's a hard thing to do, right? For us, it could be anything from a defense of the gospel, a simple dedication to the Word of God. You really believe that, Bible? I mean, you're talking about, we looked at 1 Corinthians and the submission of women and, you know, those things. Yeah. A hunger for righteousness, a thirst for purity, a willingness to confront those who are in sin, a willingness to make and foster godly relationships. I'm telling you right now, if you hang out with people and they are mean and belittle and tear down others, you're going to get caught up in that. You need to confront them. And if they don't like that, you may need to look for other people. Now, it may not be the coolest of the cool that you're hanging out with anymore, but who cares? You spend time with people that love Jesus. Because it's hard enough for me to fight off sin in my own life. I don't need to be surrounded by people that are constantly trying to bring me down and influence me to do other things. You need a willingness to avoid ungodly relationships. Look again in our passage, verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. It's very clear the distinction. If we love Jesus, we no longer are saturated with the pursuit of pleasing men. We are thankful that God is patient and loving and gracious and forgiving, because this is a battle that you'll fight for the rest of your life in Christ until we're with Him perfect in heaven. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do love You and we thank You for this time together. Thank You for the book of Galatians and the truth that we learn from it. Pray, Lord, that we would all seek to grow more in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who loves us and died for us. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.